my lot here. Amen. Acts chapter number 3, if you have your Bibles, the book of Acts chapter number 3. The Lord will help us. Amen. Acts chapter 3. It's all good reading, but let's start right at the beginning so you all understand a little bit of what's going on here. Acts 3 and 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the day, if you will. Remember what else happened at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the day? Amen. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple.
Yes.
Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us.
Right.
Verse number 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Amen. A little difficult tonight. And he gave heed unto them. Notice here, this man had been set at this gate for a long time. And he had made a living of taking up collection, if you will, giving alms. And I don't have time to get into that, but there's 3 types of givings. There's tithe that the Lord commanded all the way from Leviticus into the New Testament. That's the tithe, the tenth of everything God blesses you with that you bring to the storehouse. There's offerings, and then there's alms to the poor here.
Yep.
This man was begging of alms, praise God. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Praise God. I love this. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Thank you for standing here tonight for the reading of the word of the Lord.
Praise God.
And if God would help me for just a few minutes tonight, I'd like to preach a little simple thought on what do you have to offer. Amen.
Praise God.
What do you have to offer? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Amen. I was laughing. Brother Randy told me the other day, he said he was down there. He said, anytime, Brother Randy Webb, he said, anytime, you know, you start wheeling and dealing on a car, that you try to come to a price, and then you'll say, can you do any better than that?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And he told me he's down in Georgia, I think it was, and they had offered him, they knew that they had that school there in Virginia, and he said that this fella took him down there and showed him a real nice, I thought it was a 20 or 24 passenger van, and he said, took him around, showed him that, and he said, man, I was just really dreading to hear the price. He said, it really fit what we needed for our school. And he said, well, what would you have to have out of it? And he said, the guy said, well, we don't want nothing. We want to give it to the school. And Brother Randy said, I come to haste, asked him, can you do any better than that? I've laughed and laughed about that. Praise God. Can you do any better than that? Amen. Well, this man had stood there by the, sat there by the gate.
Yeah.
Amen. This beautiful gate. I mean, hard telling how long he had been there. Maybe some come up and put a little small mite or a penny, I guess, in our day, nickel, dime, quarter. Amen. Maybe he thought to himself many a times, could you do any better than that? Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? We live in a time today where there's programs. Amen.
Yeah.
And churches have youth groups. And I've seen churches have ball fields out behind the church. And instead of teaching them children the Word of God, which I believe is far more important than teaching them how to hit a ball or shoot a ball or run a ball. Amen.
Yeah.
Instead of teaching them churches, is teaching them children the Word of God, they teach them other things and such as that. But you know what? The greatest program that I know going today, amen, is the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's the greatest program I know. I don't know anything, Brother Daniel, greater we could teach our children. Amen. Than about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Several decades ago, amen, it was felt by many of us in the ministry that we needed to emphasize. And I want you to understand, I'm not speaking of an elder man here. I'm just somewhere in the middle. Maybe Brother Tom, maybe Brother Ron, some of the older ones can remember. And I'm not trying to date you. I know but you know, 40s and 50s and just the history. I do read Bible history, 30s, 40s, 50s, amen, even up into the 60s. I mean, all you had to do was tell people about Jesus, and that was enough to get them excited about going to church. Amen. Jesus has always been enough. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Then we get up into the 70s, the hippie movement. Then you come on up in the 80s and then the 90s. Here we are, 2024. Amen. And I'm sad to announce this, but Jesus is not enough to get folks to go to church anymore.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen. I might be a long one here tonight. Praise God. What do we got to have, Brother Dan? We got to have programs. What do you have to offer? Amen. I remember my days of the hospital. I just used to get a kick out of it. I'd hear folks talk about this church and that church, and they'd say, what do they have to offer? Everybody's looking at what somebody has to offer. Amen. You go fill out for a job. You want to know what that job has to offer. Amen. We raised up a generation of people that's looking what somebody has to offer. Amen. Well, I'm going to reverse that mind frame tonight, and I come to ask you, what do you have to offer? Amen. What do you have to offer? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Moses, hallelujah, or rather most people have no compensation. Hallelujah. That they have violated God's laws, or that God has given them any laws. There is no fear of God in today's society. Amen. God is not even a factor in the lives of most people. Amen. So when they hear of Christianity and they hear of Christ and they hear of church, it doesn't strike really a nerve in them, because all they want to know is what something has to offer me. Hallelujah. Well, that's the question that was thrown to Peter and John by this crippled man at the temple that day. Hallelujah. Amen. He needed help. This man was in a dreadful condition. I agree. He saw the two of those disciples, amen, Peter and John, as they came up to the gate, and he held out his hand for some money. Praise God. Amen. What can you do for me? Hallelujah. Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever asked the question of what somebody can do for me? Amen. What do you have to offer me? And woe be to the Christian or to the church that doesn't have an answer. Let me tell you something, church. Amen. We have something to offer the sinner man. Amen. We have something to offer the hurting man and the hurting woman and that one that has a heavy heart. We have something, believe it or not, to offer those that are sick and the doctors can't do them any good. I said we got something that we can offer to them. Amen. Hallelujah. And what is it? It's the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel like preaching to us what we have to offer. Amen. The story in question today follows closely on the heels of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You remember that just a little bit before this. The Holy Ghost was outpoured. Amen. Oh, yes, the Jewish people had been celebrating the harvest festival for 1,500 years, known as Pentecost. Amen. It was not a new holiday. Every year, 50 days following the Passover, the Jews thank God for the harvest on Pentecost. But on that fateful Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, as 120 men prayed, and they got in that upper room, and they prayed till they felt something moving, and they heard a wind blowing as of a rushing, mighty wind. They got a hold of something that day that they could offer. Amen. Oh, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost, and I come to tell, amen, who did I come to tell this to? I come to tell this to Brother Earl. I come to tell this to Brother Sheffy. I come to tell this, if I had time, time, I call every one of your name. I come to tell us you've got something to offer, amen. These 120 men, hey, Jesus was crucified. The Savior was hung on a cross. He was put in a tomb. And everybody said, we don't have anything to stand on anymore. But they got away, 120 of them, and they got in an upper room until they was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And the wind of God began to blow, and they had something to offer a world. 3,000 got saved. 2,000 got saved. They would push them out in the shadows of the disciple, and they were healed. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about Book of Acts, move of God. What happened? They had something to offer, but it came from the moving of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You have anything to offer?
Come on, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. You have anything to offer? Oh, God. The third chapter of the Book of Acts tells us the story. Peter and John went up to the temple one afternoon to take part in a prayer meeting about 3 o'clock in the day. Amen. Peter, perhaps the oldest of these original disciples, and John the youngest, amen, had become great pals. And before Jesus had called them to follow him, they had both been running fishermen businesses on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. John and his brother named James, and Peter with his brother named Andrew. It was this strange tandem of Peter and John who had first burst into an empty tomb of Jesus only a couple months before this. Hallelujah. Amen. But in the years to come, Peter would take the gospel as far as Babylon and as far as Rome. Amen. John would become the legendary pastor of the church of Ephesus. Amen. Oh, God. And in his last years, way up into his 90s, he was exiled and put on a place called Patmos. Amen. And what happened on Patmos? The Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, God. Hey. Let me tell you something. You can get in the Spirit on the Lord's day when the house is full. Hey, come on. You ever seen people come to church and they go to looking around and this one ain't here and that one ain't here and all they can talk about is who ain't in church? We can't have nobody's here. I tell you, John got in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. He didn't have Peter. He didn't have no disciple. He was all by himself. But he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And God gave him the Book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Hey, I come to tell, what do you got to offer? Amen. You can have a whole lot to offer. But the key to everything, I told you so far, we got to get in the Spirit. I said, we got to get in the Spirit. We got to get Brother Daniel in an upper place. We got to get a little bit higher than where we've been hanging out. I said, we got to get in the Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Have me here tonight.
Come on now.
We'd like to get in the Spirit realm.
Yeah.
Won't you raise your hand right here?
Praise God.
And ask the Lord to do something in this house. Amen. Lord, all I'm trying to do is get somebody to see the need of getting in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Getting in that upper tier. Lord, getting the hunger for more of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, not long before this, I want you to notice these men were bickering on who would be the greatest. Amen. John wanted to know who's going to be, Peter wanted to know, and James and John, they wanted to know who's going to be the greatest.
Come on.
But did you know, amen, oh, Brother Daniel, when they got in the Spirit, they didn't care who was the greatest. They was pushing on the same team.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I would to God tonight that we could come to church and nobody cares who sings, nobody cares who preaches, nobody really cares who does what. If Brother George gets a hold of it,
it tonight, let's get him behind him. If Brother Ron gets a hold of it, let's get him behind him. If Brother Tom gets anointed upon that base, hey, let's get him. Hey, what I can tell you is, let's get together. Amen. Quit worrying about who's greatest. And when they got in the spirit, they was able to accomplish great things for God, because they wasn't worried about who was greater. They wasn't worried about who was higher. All they cared about, how can I help somebody else?
Come on.
Is that what ministry is?
Come on, man.
That's it.
Come on, brother.
It is.
Ministry.
Come on, brother.
It's about helping somebody else.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Come on.
You'll never experience anything greater in life than helping somebody else.
Right.
Hallelujah. What is that on? It got hot all of a sudden. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something, Brother Daniel. Amen.
Come on.
My Brother Daniel's a pastor. Been a pastor for years. Brother Ron, isn't this ironic? We got all these pastors here and I've been a pastor. I couldn't guess how. Years and years. Way a long time. Amen. But did you know that the greatest blessings in all of life, it's not what you do for you. Amen.
Come on. Oh, God.
Come on. I said it's not how you pampered yourself, but it's when you've been there for somebody else in their darkest moment. It's when you've been there for somebody else when they needed you the most. I come to ask you, what do you have to offer? Don't go around life always asking, what does that church have to give? What was that JFK was so famous for? Ask not what my country can do for me, but ask rather, what can I do for my country? Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know why Hudson's been talking so much about World War III, but he's excited to join the Marines. Amen. I told him, I said, Hudson, you don't want to join the Marines. You don't want to get in war. You might lose your life. He never batted an eye. He said, I want to fight for my country. Hallelujah. I want to fight for my country. I come to tell somebody. I come to try to spurn somebody. I want to fight for my Lord. I said, I want to give what I can for my Lord. I want to lay my life down for the Lord. It's hard to tell what we can do as a church. It's hard to tell what we can do as multiple churches if we would quit fighting one another and get on the same team and fight for God and reach sinners and quit bickering and quit talking about one another and have revival and have a move of God in this last day.
Yes, all
right. Amen.
How many believes we need a move of God?
Yes, amen. Amen. That's good. Come on, buddy.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Come on, brother.
Oh, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Teach us some new tricks. Praise God.
Got you. Help him, Lord.
They say it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yes, amen.
Brother George kept Maddie for us for several weeks, a month or two. I can't even remember how long. Quite a while, and he made mention of how smart she was. Maddie's a smart dog. She'd get out of the yard and run around a little bit, look at her and say, Maddie, go to the backyard. So I got to tell her. She'll put her tail down and go get in the backyard. Amen. You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Amen.
Raylan and them sold one of them pups on the first litter to a lady in Florida, and she's coming back to get another one. Amen. And she sent Michelle a video the other day of that dog with blue light blockers on watching an computer. Amen. That dog, she said, likes to watch the computer. I never seen a dog, but believe it or not, Michelle will. She'll show it to you on her phone back there. That dog with glasses on watching that computer. Oh, I'm about to preach to somebody out here. If a dog can wear glasses and watch computer, and if Maddie can go get in the backyard, some of you can get out of your stubborn ways. Some of you can quit being in that same old rut. That same old dry place. That same old place of no prayer. That same old place of no burden. That same old place of no hunger for the heart of the sinner. Hey, some of you need to learn some new tricks. Amen. It's not about what do you have to offer me. What can I offer somebody else? What can I give to somebody else? How can I change the kingdom of God for the better? What can I do for somebody else?
You're right.
Ah, man.
Lord,
God.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Lord.
What do we have to offer?
Bless you, Jesus.
We have a Christ
that's
right. All powerful.
That's right.
To offer.
That's right.
And it's beginning to make an impact. Hallelujah. In your immediate area. Hallelujah. You can change the area that you live in by the power of Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Woo. Now I need to make a follow-up call to old Jacob. I told you about him last Thursday. Amen. But old Jacob called me last week, about a week ago. That fellow that's helped me mow off and on for the last few years. I mean, the fellow that's been mixed up. The fellow that tells me he's been depressed. He didn't like nobody. He used to hate, boy, don't like yourself. But he called me the other day and he said, Jason, you'll never believe what happened to me. He said, I got saved. Hallelujah. I got saved. Oh, and he got to crying and he got to telling me. He said, amen. And I want you to know that you had a big impact in that. He said, I've never seen a man go through what you've been through and hang on to God. And he said, I just want to let you know it means a lot to me. Oh, I come to tell us you impact more people's lives than what you realize. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching your life. And I come to tell you, amen, you need to change your mind frame. You need to quit worrying about what everybody can do for me, what everybody can give to me, and flip that and say, what can I do? What kind of shovel can I bring to church and to get to working? What kind of prayer? What kind of power? What kind of fasting? What kind of anointing can I bring to God's house? I need to change some things. I need to have the power of God in my heart. Amen.
Yay, Lord.
Glory to God.
Are you ready?
Yes,
come on. You done? We're about done here.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Come on. Verse 4 here in Acts chapter 3 informs us that Peter and John fastened their eyes on this man. The representatives of Christ here are never overwhelmed by the surrounding circumstance in which they're in.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
That's why it pays to be prayed up.
Come on.
That's why it pays to be on the cutting edge and be close to God. That's why it pays to have the power of God in your heart. Because you know what happened, Brother Tommy? They were going to the temple at the hour of prayer.
All right.
Hallelujah. Oh, I don't even have time. I was reading back there and I got fascinated. I don't even have time to tell you about the gate called Beautiful. Why was it called Beautiful? Because it was overlaid in gold. I ain't talking about brass. I'm not talking about fake gold, but real gold. Amen. And down the sides were white pearl. I mean, a beautiful temple, a beautiful house. And about the hour 3 o'clock, the sun would have been glistening on the temple. But these men didn't have their eyes on the beauty of the temple. These men didn't have their eyes on the splendor of the looks of the house of God. But these men were coming to prayer, but they were already prayed up. Hallelujah. And they got down there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this man called out, sirs, amen, is there anything you can do to help me? Is there anything you have to offer? Amen. I love their response, Brother George, and I'm done preaching.
Come on, brother.
Come on. He looked at him, Brother Johnson.
Come on.
And he said, sirs, silver and gold.
I'm on now.
Buddy, I'm sorry.
Silver and gold.
Uh-huh.
Hell, I none.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what he said, the famous Randy Webb statement. Can you do any better than that?
Yeah.
Can you do any better than that?
Come on, man.
Silver and gold. Hell, I none. Oh, you got to have something, church, if you're going to give it. I said you got to have it if you're going to give it. And when they showed up to the house of God, they didn't show up empty. I don't have gold. I don't have silver. But what I got, you can have. And it's the power of God living in my heart. And I come to tell you, silver and gold won't change the world. But the power of God, it'll change the world. Is there anybody in this house tonight that would like to have the power of God?
I can't say that Italian's name. Jeez. Thomas Aquinas, something like that.
Oh,
I told you the story. I read it again there. See, he was invited to the Vatican, the real Vatican, years ago.
Yeah.
And the Pope was showing him through. And the Vatican, something else. I've never seen it. Maybe seen pictures. Overlaid in gold.
Yeah.
I'm talking about fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope looked at Thomas Aquinas, some kind of Italian there. I can't say it right. And he said, son, no longer, as they was looking at the magnificence of the Vatican.
Yeah.
He said, son, no longer can we say, silver and gold have we none.
All right.
And old Thomas hung his head down, seeing the deadness and the dryness. Are you against nice buildings, Brother Jason? I wish we had the nicest buildings of all time. I'm not against nice buildings. Oh, and he looked at the deadness in that place, and he said, I know we can't say no longer silver and gold. We can't say amen anymore. That silver and gold have we none. But old Thomas looked at the Pope, and he said, neither can we say, such as I have, give I unto thee. Oh, I want to have beautiful churches. I want to have pristine sanctuaries. But what I want to have is what I have. Give I unto thee. Is there anybody in this house on a Thursday night that would say, God, give it to me, Lord, so I can offer it to somebody else?
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Get Jesus.
Pray, church. Pray. Do we got anybody hungry in this house? Do we have anybody hungry here in this house tonight?
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Peter said, well, son, we don't have any silver and we don't have any gold. But oh, the lame man must have groaned within his spirit. But he said, such as I have, give I unto thee. And the Bible, here's what I love. I gotta quit here. It's time to call an order. But not only did he have something, but Brother Tom, sit down there. He reached down. That man was lame. He couldn't walk. He had no energy. He had no strength. And when you get to that place, you don't even have it psychologically. Amen. You fight the devil in your mind. That man lay there. He thought he was no good. He thought he was worthless. He didn't have no physical strength. He didn't have no mental strength. He didn't have no spiritual strength. But Peter asked him, and he said, such as I have, give I unto thee. And here goes a little bit farther. He said, son, get up. And he pulled him up. And he had enough faith in what he had to get that lame man on his feet. And the Bible said that his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he got up. And he was leaping. And he was praising. I come to tell us in this house, not only do you need to have it, you need to have faith that it works.
Hallelujah.
phone.
Yes, God. Glory.
Does it really work? Does what we have
come on,
work?
Come on, man.
Praise you.
Come on,
praise you. Does it work?
Stand with me in this house.
Lord.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh. The former crippled man jumped up, stood up on his feet, received strength, leaping and praising God.
Right.
Went into the temple.
Yes.
Praise
you. Amen. Amen.
The worshipers came that day expecting what they had seen every day. Dead dry service.
Yeah.
This day was different.
All right.
Hallelujah. And if we're going to reach a world out there, I come to tell you, we got to have more than a program. We got to have more than a... Then something to all brothers. We gotta have more of that spaghetti dinner. And I ain't being mean. But I told you about that church down there. That I'm over, I'll leave it vague. But they had a sign up out there for I don't know how long. On Wednesday nights, I don't think they have much church anymore. They used to have spaghetti dinner. And I'd say that probably costed a lot feeding everybody. So then they took her down to an ice cream social. And far as I know, Brother Tom, the sign's down and they ain't feeding nobody nothing. But call spaghetti dinner, as Brother John Kong calls it, buschetti.
Yeah.
A buschetti dinner doesn't do any good. And an ice cream social don't do any good. They told me that church, I mean a magnificent, beautiful, great big old church that ran in its heyday, a house full of people, but now it's dead, and now it's dry. Are you putting them down? No. But I come to tell us that'll be this church next year if we don't get what Peter and John had, such as I had. In the name of the, we gotta have the power of God. We gotta have the movement of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. Right,
oh, come on.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, raise your hand here. Brother Dan, get that song you had going for a short while ago. Get it there for it if you feel like it. Amen.
Glory to God.
Such as I have
your way, my God.
I come to ask you one more time.
Yes,
tonight, what do you have that you can give away?
Yes, hallelujah.
What do you have that you can offer? I tell you, Brother George, if they went to church that day dead and dry, no Holy Ghost, no prayer life, no power of God, that man would have laid crippled. But he got up. I said he got up. Right here's what I'm asking you. And I'm not, hey, we ain't charismatic. I ain't pumping nothing up. But I really would like for somebody to fill these altars tonight and say, I'm hungry, Lord, for something I can give. So, amen. I'm tired of living for me. I'm tired of living. Every time we turn around, they gotta pray me out of the mully grubs. I'm tired of living. Every time I turn around, I've lost my joy. I've lost my power. I've lost my peace. I want to get to the place where I can give. I want to get to the place where I've got something I can offer in this house on a Thursday night. And these altars are open. Is anybody hungry? Is anybody? Amen. Say, God, I want more. I want the power of the Holy God. I want you to move in my heart. I want you to do it for me. Lord, tonight.
Jesus.
Is anybody hungry? Yes, and let me fill these altars. Anybody hungry? Anybody want the power of God?
Blessed be the Lord.
Anybody want the power of God?
Blessed.
Will what the Lord has done, what the Lord has done, He healed my body, He touched my mind. Oh, Thank you.